Central Police Station. Sergeant Walker.
This is John Morris speaking. I want to report a murder.
A murder? Just a second. Now, what did you say your name was? John Morris?
That's right. I live at 6796 Crystal Lane.
Uh-huh. Who's been killed?
My aunt, Sally Morris.
Your aunt? I see. Are you sure she's dead?
Quite sure. She's been lying on the bottom of the pond for 8 months. Don't ask me how I know. I know. I'll put her there. As a matter of fact, this phone call had better be the confession. And if you're sending anyone over, they'd better hurry. It began 8 months ago. I was broke. All alone in the world, except for a spinster aunt who lived in a small town upstate. I had one friend, little old Bill Hawkins, who worked as a bookkeeper in a real estate company downtown. One night, 8 months ago, Bill knocked on my door.
Come in. Now, hiya, girl.
Hello, Johnny. Hey, that wasn't me knocking on the door. That was opportunity.
Yeah, very right.
I'm drunk. I know what I'm saying. You like me, Johnny. One of them unhappy cusses with too much brain, not enough luck.
Well, that's as good a description as any.
Yes, we're alike, you and me. Only now when my big chance comes along, I'm 68 years old, 90% dead. So it can't do me much good. That's why I'm giving a chance to you. Johnny, how'd you like $50,000?
Oh, that'd be wonderful. How would you like to go back to your room and get to the sleep?
If you don't want to end up like me, Johnny, you better listen to me. This is your chance.
And do you know, after I checked the old man's story, I knew it was my chance. In that real estate office, he had stumbled upon confidential information about a huge subdivision going up on the outskirts of town. The news wouldn't break for 10 days, and across from the subdivision was a cow pasture which could be bought now for $5,000. But would be worth at least $50,000 10 days from now. Yes, it was my big break. There was only one small handicap. I needed $5,000. My total capital amounted to $7.53. I put in a busy week Monday and Tuesday. I'd spent going to the banks. Everyone was sympathetic, but they couldn't help. Wednesday and Thursday, I devoted to the loan sharks and the shysters. They were less sympathetic. They laughed in my face. Friday, I hopped my watch and tried to win some money in a big dice game. In 10 minutes, I was borrowing car fare to go home. Saturday, I cashed in my insurance policy and went out to the races. I hitchhiked home. By Sunday, I knew I was licked. My one chance had slipped through my fingers like water. She lived upstate in Glenville. She'd always had money. Yeah, I remembered when I was up there 5 years before, she'd kept enough money in her bureau drawer to buy a battleship. I sent her a telegram. But though my wire to Aunt Sally up in Glenville ran 58 words, her reply was quite to the point. No. But she had to help me. There was nobody left now when I had only 2 days. I borrowed $5 and I called her long distance. And when she answered the phone, I took her on a personally conducted tour of my soul, showing her how all my life I'd waited for the one break. And now it had come and I needed her help so badly. And when I'd finished talking...
Well, all I can say is that if you need the money so bad, you wouldn't be wasting it on foolish telephone calls. Goodbye.
But, Aunt Sally, you...
My wire explained exactly how I felt.
Well, of course, if you hadn't got $5,000, Aunt Sally, then I could understand.
I've got
$5,000. Well, but when you
talk... Let me tell you, young man, if I wanted to give you $5,000 or more than that, I wouldn't even have to go to the bank. But I know you too well, John, to fall for your wild schemes. Goodbye.
Open up.
Well, mister,
I'm standing in the doorway. It was the policeman who had stopped me earlier that night for not putting a nickel in the parking meter.
I don't understand.
When I told you about parking wrong a couple of hours ago, you told me you were passing through town, and now...
What's the matter, officer? Oh, it's you, Henry. Anything wrong?
Hello, Mr. Brown. I don't know.
I wasn't quite sleeping when I heard you pound on Sally's door right during the mortgage.
Where is Sally? We'll soon find that out.
Well, there's nothing to find out. She's upstairs sleeping.
Huh? Who are you?
Well, I'm Sally's nephew.
When I spoke to this fellow downtown, he told me he was just passing through. And while I'm making the rounds, I see his car right in front of Sally's house. Now he says he's her nephew.
Well, of course I'm her nephew.
Yes, I remember now. You're John. You stayed with Sally 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes, that's right.
I'm sure I remember you. He's Sally's nephew, all right, Henny.
And why did he say he was just going through town?
Well, you must have misunderstood me.
Why is he so nervous?
The way you were pounding on the door would make anybody nervous, Henry. Now, why don't you let him get back to bed?
Well, all right. Well, I'll be going then. You still should have put a nickel in that meter when you parked, young fella.
You see all the trouble you get into when you break the law, son?
Yeah. Well, thanks for helping me.
Yeah, sure. Well, look, what brought you back to Greenville this time?
Oh, I came up to see if I could talk Sally into visiting me in the city for a while.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, the change of scenery will do it good.
And what did Sally tell you when you asked her to leave Grahamville?
Oh, she agreed. We're leaving the first thing tomorrow morning.
What?
Oh, yeah, she was tickled to death.
But she can't leave now.
What? Why not?
Well, didn't she tell you?
Tell me what?
In a few weeks, Sally and I are going to be married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Didn't she show you the ring I bought her?
No.
I hate to tell you what I paid for that ring. A lot more than I could afford. Say, I don't understand this. I don't care if she is sleeping. I'd better have a talk with Sally right now.
Sally! Sally!
Mr. Brown, she wasn't feeling so well when she went to bed. Why don't you wait till tomorrow and let her explain? She said she was going to speak to you before she leaves.
All right. But you can bet she'll see me before she leaves.
As soon as I got rid of Brown, I went right to her bedroom bureau. Inside, I found $8,700. I stuffed the money into a little suitcase with some papers with her signature, and then I went downstairs and turned out all the lights. I waited almost 2 hours until I was sure Mr. Brown was asleep. Then I opened the door. I took the body of my aunt into my arms. Very quietly, I left the house and started down the walk. I opened my car and propped her up in the front seat. I got in beside her. And suddenly, I heard a window being raised.
Sally decided she wanted an early start. What's that, Aunt Sally? Oh. She says to tell you she'll wire you as soon as we get to the city.
Wire me nothing. I'm coming down to talk to her. Sally, you wait there for me.
I saw lights going on inside Brown's house. I had to get out of here. The car wouldn't stop. And now Brown was running across his porch.
Hold it, you wait there for me, you hear?
Isolated pond known as Devil's Lair. Here I disposed of my passenger. When I got to the city, I began a plan I'd worked out in my mind on the way. I sent a wire to Mr. Brown. Perhaps I was hasty in moving, but wanted time to think things over. We'll be back
fortune. But my luck had turned. But I'd finally got a break. And up until last week, it really did look as though my luck had changed. The cow pasture sold for $60,000. And there were other deals. Moved into this luxurious apartment, I bought fine clothes. I enjoyed life to the fullest. And very regularly, I typed Mr. Brown a love letter. January 18th. Had no idea my nephew John was so well off. I even used his secretary to take care of my correspondence. I may stay a little longer than I planned. I'm still not exactly sure what is best for us to do. So exciting with parties and dinners, I've decided to stay a while longer. Fondly, Sally. May 15th. Don't know how I can ever go back to Grahamville after all this. Be patient. Yours, Sally. June 2nd. We live in different worlds. I think getting married now would be a big mistake. Sincerely, Sally Maris. Week after week, I typed the letters, signed them very carefully with Aunt Sally's signature. And week after week, I got Mr. Brown's pathetic replies. He was so in love. I got so I didn't even read him. He didn't suspect a thing. When my last letter received no reply, I assumed that I'd been completely successful in carrying out my plan. I assumed our courtship had ended. But only yesterday morning, I found out my confidence was a little premature. Hello?
I'd like to speak to Sally Maris.
Mr. Brown?
Yes, this is Brown.
Sally isn't in right now.
Then I'll call later.
Are you calling long distance?
No, from my hotel room. I've come to the city to find out if my hunch was right.
Your hunch?
Yeah. My hunch about what happened to Sally. I'll call back. Is Sally in yet?
No.
When do you expect her?
Well, I don't know.
I'll call back.
Sally home yet?
No, she's not.
Mind if I wait?
No, not at all.
Where'd Sally go?
The beauty parlor. Yes, that's right.
The beauty parlor?
Yeah, yes. You said something about having a hunch about what's happened to Sally.
Yeah?
What did you mean by that?
Don't you know, John?
Why should I know?
Well, if my hunch is right, I'm going to do something about it. Maybe that's Sally now.
Oh, yes, maybe it is. Hello?
Hello, Johnny. I called she a...
Oh, I'm glad you called, Aunt Sally.
Aunt Sally? Well, this is Bill.
Mr. Brown came down from Grahamville to see you.
Mr. Brown? I don't know anybody with the name Mr. Brown.
Yes, he seems pretty anxious to settle things.
What are you talking about, Johnny? You sure you ain't been drinking?
Here, let me talk to her. What'd you hang up for?
Well, she hang up.
I'll be going, John.
What?
Let's not play games with each other. I know what's happened to Sally. And so do you. See you later.
Well, where are you going?
I told you I was going to do something about it. Well, I am.
But wait.
Goodbye.
I hurried to the window. A few minutes later, saw Brown come out into the street. How did he know? He stopped and talked to someone and headed west down 8th Street. I tried to remember every instant of the hours I spent in Grahamville. How did he know?
Well, there was only one thing left to do. I wasn't fighting for my place in the sun anymore. I was fighting for my life. I called the apartment garage and told them to get my car ready. I spotted Brown walking down 8th Street. I followed my car, waiting my chance. How had he found out? He hadn't seen her body under the couch? There was nothing in the letters to arouse his suspicions, or he wouldn't have waited 8 months to investigate. No, he was crossing the street all alone. I stepped on the gas. But he jumped back on the curb and was safe. I ducked my head low and drove quickly down the block. I circled around and came back. But I was too late. Mr. Brown had reached his destination. He'd turned in at the corner building and was climbing the steps of Central Police Station. It was all over for me. I had one more stop to make, and then I'd go home and make my phone call. And that's it, officer. That's everything. I wanted you to know what really happened. You see, what Brown told you was only the story of the murder itself. I wanted you to know what caused the murder.
Okay. Now, you just stay where you are. Squad car will be there in a couple of minutes. I sent them out the moment you started talking.
I doubt whether they'll get here in time.
Huh? Now, look, don't try to get away because it won't work.
Oh, but yes, it will. You see, I booked passage for a little trip on my own. No one in the world can cancel my reservation.
What are you talking about?
I told you I made a stop before I came home. There's a man I know who can get anything if there's money in it. He got me poison.
Poison?
Yes, I took it just before I called you. I think its soothing action's already begun. Come in. Mr. Brown.
I had to come this way to get to the railroad station. So I thought I'd drop by and congratulate you for what you've done to Sally.
Congratulate me?
Yes. Then I'm going back to Grahamville, where I belong. There's nothing I can do.
Nothing you can do?
I went to the police station. They told me I had to go to a lawyer, so I did.
What are you talking about?
He told me that in order to get that engagement ring back, I'd have to bring Sally into court.
Ring?
Yeah. With your money, maybe $1,000 ring doesn't mean much. I know what's happened to Sally, and so do you. All your money's gone to her head. She thinks she's too good for a plain, ordinary fellow like me. Now I know why you came up to see her that time.
You too?
Yeah. You didn't want her to marry me. Well, all right. You and your money. You and John.